another episode of We the People Radio. Today is a little bit less of an episode than last week because Bill's earphones all work and all that.
Yeah. Well, we got Lyle on.
We have less,
too,
so less drama.
We didn't want to have any drama.
That's right. We didn't want to take Lyle. Away any fun before Lyle got
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's true.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Swing by there and check them out. They got some great deals on compact tractors and attachments. They also do service and parts for pretty much anything John Deere, Honda, or steel. So go by and see them. Got a good inventory of generators. It's starting to warm up in California, so the generator rush will be on. So go by and see them. Their number is 226-9226, or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There we go.
Nothing bad happened.
No, it all worked. It all came out of my mouth properly.
I didn't look at you, that's why.
I think so.
I was kind of looking, but I
get so nervous.
Couldn't get my dumb page to come up today.
It still works. 24 years and it still works.
I know, we figured it out yesterday. We've been married almost 24 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. We were watching, we've always watched this true crime stuff. So anyway, we're watching this true crime thing, and these people have been married for 24 years, and then, you know, he decides to find a girlfriend, and then she decides to kill the girlfriend, and it was like,
wow.
Why does our life seem so boring?
Yeah. I had to keep an eye
after
on her.
After 24
all night.
Years, you'd think you would have figured it out, maybe, or at least not wanted to commit homicide, maybe.
Well, true.
If you wanted to commit homicide,
I kind of thought you were looking at me funny after that, and I had to kind of keep an eye on you. It was a little frightening.
It was a little weird, though. It's like, wow, our life is really boring.
It's like, honey, can you plug that switch in over there? It seems to be acting up.
That's why you have cameras in your house. It's not really for burglars.
When did you start putting a toaster in a bathroom?
Exactly. It's so close to the tub.
I know it.
Oh, my gosh. So, little window into what goes on in our house.
Never a dull moment.
Apparently there are some dull moments, but not as exciting as some of these other people. They never get that exciting. So our guest, who should make this really fun, he will make it really fun. Actually, he's probably not going to be happy, but I put a little cartoon on the webpage for today, so it's worth going to the website. It's wethepeopleradio.us, and today we're airing live. It's June 7th, 2020. And, I told him to send me anything that, you know, because we call it, what did I call the show? I called it The Politics of Chaos, because it's just been, you know, with all these protests and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, send me something I can post. And he sends me two dogs, and one is smelling the other dog, and I won't actually read he says, science fact, a dog gets more factual information from sniffing the other dog's, you know, rear end than humans do from watching CNN. I thought that was very fitting. We should post that. So, I guess by way of actual introduction, Dr. Lyle Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, which seems almost not correct after the cartoon, but either that or it's driven him to that.
It could have.
It could have. He probably started out,
gone around the bend.
Watching CNN? No, he probably didn't. And since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And he receives, analyzes, and disseminates. Sometimes I actually get him on email, too. Mm-hmm. Critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and government communities. He's written tons and tons of white papers. I haven't updated this in a while, and it says dozens. So now I'm moving it up. It's tons and tons now. And we have been doing shows with him since, oh my gosh, 2016. And we have done them on a variety of topics. So, Lyle, how's it going in there?
Oh, am I on now?
Yeah.
Let me, it's your turn. Let me put my checkers down. hey, Bill, I want to start off this serious segment with the a copying of a memo that I got from Aaron saying, hey, Dr.
Uh-oh.
Anyone better than you to bring chaos to our show? What does that mean?
When I think
I apologize. I don't know what that means.
Well, I figured since you're the one with the toaster in the bathroom, you might have an idea.
Yeah, just yeah. Watch your back, Lyle.
I am. And the second thing I want to bring out to you, Bill, not to Aaron, but to Bill, is
I'm over here in the cone of silence.
When she phones me last night at like 2:30 in the morning, maybe it was 1:30, I don't recall, and she said, you know, hey, we're really sorry that the check's so late getting to you this time, but we're having a little financial pinch. I phoned her back and texted her back, I should say, and said, you know, don't worry about it. The $1.85 I get for doing your big show is covered by Pathway Machinery. They've gone ahead and kicked in $2 for me.
Oh, geez, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm trying out. I'm volunteering and trying out for spokesman for them. Because, you know, you saw me on the tractor. And that wall has been repaired, by the way. That wall's been repaired, and trees grow back. Come on.
When that check for $1.85 does show up, just keep it. It consider it a bonus.
You know, you are. That's why. This is why I come on the show, the big show for you, Bill.
The really big show.
The really big show, because I know you take care of me. And then before we
that's
get into
the chaos,
we've
been married for 24 years.
I am not touching that one.
Phil only writes checks for $1.84. Yes.
And before we get into the chaos show, I want to say hi to my Ukrainian listeners. I really appreciate the Ukrainian baskets they send me, the fruit, and there's certain things I'm not sure what they are, but I really like that. And I also want to tell my Ukrainian listeners that Latvia, is that it?
Latvia.
In the ranks.
Yeah.
The other one is a coffee drink, actually.
No. They're starting to tune in a little bit more. I think there's about 10 more people listening now. And Belarus, is that right? They're listening now more. So there's a real struggle going on to knock Ukraine out and take over the number one spot internationally.
Well, listen up. Just a word of caution. When you get those baskets from Ukraine, we've had a little issue with them because we've gotten them as well. And you want to wand them first for, you know, radioactivity.
In all seriousness, honestly, for years, you guys in the Ukraine have been like number two number of listeners behind the U.S., which is crazy. The only time anybody ever overtook the Ukrainians was when we did a whole bunch of shows on China, and the Chinese were busy hacking us, and our computers were all melting down, and my work phone wouldn't actually work anymore. I had to get a new one. That was last year. And
it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, kind of interesting. It kind of goes with the topics, which makes sense. But it's interesting to me how the word kind of gets around. You know.
Yeah, they could have just sent a basket. I didn't have to go to all those
South Africa. We did some shows in South Africa. Bing! All the people in South Africa start listening.
I am a little concerned because Ireland is doing very well listenership-wise from what I understand, because I get lots of mail telling me that Ireland's really pushing to listen to your big show.
Hey, with a name like Aaron Ryan, I should have my own following.
Bill, whoever's
a Welshman, so he's kind of cutting down on my
action. I want to cheer on my friends in Scotland. They're not showing up right now on the big show, but we're going to push for that and see if we can get more listeners in Scotland.
Just do a shout out. That usually helps.
Okay, good. Well, I'm shouting out in Scottish.
I'm shouting out.
I look good, by the way. I look good in a kilt.
That's
just a word. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a little overshare.
Wrecked the whole show. There you go.
Bad image.
All of a sudden it goes totally silent. Like, what's that?
Okay, well, now I'm ready.
Okay.
I think this is where we say, on that note. Let's do our celebration to capitalism here, and then we'll come back and
we're going to get into some serious
topics with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we do about them? Don't smile.
coronavirus theme song. But actually, one of two things has happened. Either it's not as contagious as it is supposed to be, or it's just not contagious at protests. I'm not sure which. Dr. Lyle, you have any insight on that?
You know, there was a virus, very serious, but it's no different than the swine flu, the bird flu, and all the other flus we've had. It did affect or attack specifically the respiratory system. But the arguments made by the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, are appalling, at least, unfortunately, terribly comical, and even worse, highly paradoxical. They couldn't even get their own story straight for the first 4 weeks of this so-called epidemic. You could wear masks, you couldn't wear masks, masks would work, masks don't work. I mean, they're all over the board because they couldn't get their narrative straight. But what really was taking place here was the attempt to use a situation, a medical situation, to collapse our economy and to replace the United States as clearly now the number one economic force in the world. We were not when Trump came into office. Under Obama, we were heading very rapidly off the cliff into true chaos, not to make fun of our show today. Economically,
real chaos.
I think the figures speak for themselves, the unemployment, the bankruptcies, et cetera, et cetera. Under both Obama and Bush, the United States saw a tremendous amount of manufacturing move to China with no leverage with the Chinese, and the China became really the dominant, or primarily the dominant economy in the world. Mr. Trump comes into office to put America first and to change that stat, but also to literally put America first at home and to get rid of policies, regulations that were snuffing the life out of this nation, out of business, out of the economy. And he was doing that. Again, the facts speak louder than words. When the virus came along, the globalists in the World Health Organization, the CDC, and a whole list of other things, including the deep state throughout Washington, D.C., were absolutely appalled that things were going so well. And so they used this incident, the coronavirus, to literally pull the legs out from our growing economy and the Trump administration. I've written on this. I believe, Aaron, you know this, so I'm not speaking hypothetically or pretentiously, and I apologize if I sound that way. But I've written on the coup that has taken place the last 3 years. Trump was never to be president. It was Hillary Clinton. To finish the process of what Obama had done for 8 years, and then Bush before him and Clinton, and that was to go ahead and dismantle the United States. And that's what we've been seeing since Ronald Reagan, is the slow, systematic destabilization of this nation into the global community. I believe in past years I've had guests on with me who really were subject matter specialists in this area, and they joined me in presenting with to you all information that supported clearly, not hypothetically, but clearly supported my arguments in this case. We're seeing it again still. We're seeing a coup to oust Donald Trump. This coup is not over with. And even though things have quieted down somewhat in the last 48 hours with Antifa and associated communist groups, it's not over. In fact, there's another storm or two coming, and they will be most significant. Rush Limbaugh on a show the other day talked about the same thing, that there was a coup to oust Donald Trump. It's still going. The deep state, people like former Secretary of Defense Mattis, now
what a disappointment
former Secretary
he was
of state
this last week.
Yeah. Huh? He was definitely a disappointment.
What a disappointment.
Very, very much so.
But I guess if you're a mad dog, you can turn on your owner. You know, it's like he turned on all of us.
Especially for a Marine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Colin Powell, who is the former Secretary of State and four-star general, just yesterday came out against Trump and has stated publicly he was voting for Biden. He's voting for Biden, wow, a socialist slash communist,
yeah,
who has that type of a platform, and he's voting for him. But that's okay, because George Bush, who was the president three terms ago, also came out day before yesterday and publicly claimed he was going to vote for Biden.
It's insane.
It's actually, in one way, though, it actually makes Trump look better, because I'm not sure Colin Powell didn't just pretty much disgrace himself when, you know, he was actually in the government.
No surprise coming from him, though.
But, no, he took some positions,
Bush,
that were like...
Yeah, I don't know what Bush's deal is all about. That's just
ridiculous. About globalism.
What we've had, and Aaron did and I appreciate Aaron.
You do?
When you sent out the notice, I think it was last night, I'm not sure, Aaron, you placed a number of the shows that I've been on, fortunately been on over the years, and I thank you for that. I then sent it out to about 500 people, saying that, you know, again, I'm privileged to be on this show today. And also, if you take a look, here's a number of the shows. I don't know if that's all of them, but here's a number of the shows I've been on over the years.
That actually is all of them. I try every single time we have somebody come on again, I add it to the next one so that people can look back. And, you know, because the archives are 10 years long, and scrolling through that, I would imagine, gets to be a little... So we group them by topic, you know, China, environmentalism, stuff like that across the top, veterans.
Oh,
and then
on
each guest, we try to list them all. So, you know, people like certain people. It's like, oh, good. Well, go listen to them some more. Information's still good.
Well, that was very kind of you. And I sent it forward. I distributed it to, like I said, about 500 folks across the country, a number of platforms who I've noticed this morning began to cover or post it, so they have further distribution, so I really appreciate that. I got a note early this morning from former Mayor Ken Delfino, and you'll remember Ken. And
hi,
he
Ken.
Wanted me. Yes, he
oh,
wanted
yeah,
to be
Ken,
remembered.
Ken's in the chat room today, so he's hearing you.
Okay, well, Ken's the one that got me into all this mess.
That's
I
right.
I think 10 years ago. Yeah, remember,
blame
I think he
Ken.
Was the one who... Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He said, I think you need to contact Dr. Lyle. This is the guy you need. And you did, and I had no idea who we the people were at that time, but I unfortunately did the first show, and I've been hooked ever since. And I Ken this morning sent out to his distribution list, if you have a couple of hours, please tune in. And I've known Dr. Rapacki for about 10 years, and it might be very entertaining.
That's
he
cool.
Didn't say it'd be very, it was very nice of the mayor. He didn't say it'd be very informative. He just said it'd be entertaining. So I don't really know what that means.
He just covered his bases.
Well, the really,
I think so, Bill. he didn't say it would be good. He didn't say that. He just said it might be something that would break up the day. So I don't know what that means, but I want to.
At least you're not throwing rocks through anyone's window. So, you know, take a break from that.
I wanted to give a shout out to former Mayor Ken Delfino, who got me into this mess in the first place.
Who now, as he will tell you, lives in the Black Hills that are sometimes white.
Very nice. But yeah, I think what we're seeing over this past, let's say 10 days, if you'll allow me a little room, is the manifestation of a coup that began a little over 3 years ago, actually before the inauguration of Trump, after the election in November and before the inauguration on January 20th, they began. They already planned the Russian plot. We now know this. This has all been out in documents. I'm not making up stuff. They set out to do what they could to either make sure that Mr. Trump was not inaugurated, or upon inauguration he would be impeached within the first year. Clearly, simultaneously, they looked to see what they could do to undercut President Trump and to make him basically neutered. And they have not stopped, and they're not going to stop after this week of what we've just seen. There's more coming. Both riots and other hits, and deep staters like Colin Powell, General Mattis, former President Bush, and there's other names that are now coming out against Trump, former Joint Chairman, Joint Chiefs of Chairman Mike Mullen also has just come out and stated that Trump is not where we need to be. I got a kick out of this one, if I have a moment. Mattis wrote in an article just the other day, and I'm quoting from the article. It's called "Union in Union, There is Strength." That's the article that General Mattis wrote. In union, there is strength. So go look it up, and you'll see this quote. Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people.
Yeah.
Let's just pause right there for a second. Really? There's more. Does not even pretend to. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, where am I?
Because he's in charge of all that. He's in charge of what the whole country thinks and does. I mean, one guy. When did we ever think the president had mind control over every American? I mean, I don't remember any other presidents being blamed for the thoughts and deeds of random Americans around the country. I mean, he's just
especially when he was blamed for the virus. He was blamed for Antifa. But wait a minute. He wasn't even in office when Antifa came about by Soros. So he goes on and says, Mattis goes on and says, and I'm quoting, "Instead, Trump tries to divide us. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership."
Wow.
That's out of his article that was just published. It's called "In Union, There is Strength." I'm quoting right out of the article. I'm not making this up. There's a little bit more, but it would upset my coffee right now if I began to read it. So Trump's not mature, and he's not a leader, but Obama was. Okay, got it.
The great unifier.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, if you look at, because I tell people this all the time. Like, if you look at what the media has put out about Trump, and then you look at what the media put out about Obama, it was just 100% different. Nobody's ever 100% good or bad. Even the people we really like. I mean, hell, look at that story I told at the beginning. You know, married for 24 years, and then you feel like you need to chuck them under the bus and go shoot their girlfriend.
Hey, Bill,
there is no all,
Bill,
and there is no never.
Bill, I've got an extra room over here in Arizona if you need it.
Oh, trust me, I sleep with one eye open.
and we have to take a really quick break on that.
Hey, Bill, there's no toaster in my bathroom either.
I'm packing.
Bill's on his way to Arizona. Oh my God! We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Trucks, but if it runs like a deer, man, her eyes light up. She thinks my tractor, sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring at me while I'm chugging along. She likes the way it's pulling while we're tilling up her land. My farmer's tan. She's the only one who really understands what gets me. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
I couldn't resist. So now at the end of the page here for June the 7th, we have Lyle on his tractor. It's on a Kubota, though. I had to put a disclaimer. Bill was actually selling Kubota tractors during that time, but he is now solidly a John Deere green guy, so we'll be changing the tractor.
Yeah,
thank you.
We'll be re-photoshopping you, Lyle.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
It's the least we can do.
Going back to what you were asking me about the coronavirus, while it was a virus, it was a true virus, the response was a calculated, nefarious, hateful response to put 40 million Americans out of work, to destabilize our economy, to ruin our economic success under Trump. And it was all predicated, and they stood in front of the nation based on lies, fake computer models, medical information that was absolutely phony, and they sold it to the American public and could care less, and still in certain states could care less, that they have most likely adversely forever affected businesses and lives. The intent was not to protect American citizens from some virus, but it was to destabilize the Trump administration, this country. And maybe not this segment, but at another segment, I can go over four stages of what has been very sophisticatedly and multidimensionally planned from an intelligence standpoint. And you can see if I make my hypotheses during the show here, if it works out.
Yeah, you'll have to lay that out for people, because when people hear things like that, for the most part, who haven't maybe been following all the behind-the-scenes stuff that has happened, they think, oh, brother, these guys will do anything to, you know, make it not Trump's fault or to throw shade on somebody else. But there's a lot of information that would back up your statement.
Well, so. I sent you. First of all, you're absolutely right. And so for listeners who go, oh, my goodness gracious, here's some more, you know, crap or political spin, I appreciate it. I'm not offended by it. I appreciate your critical thinking. I appreciate your standing back to see if the hypothesis can be proven. I have not a problem with that. Maybe at the next break or something, or the next segment, I can begin to go over some details with you all. It's somewhat complex, but I'll try to simplify it.
Yeah, because we have we've got like a good solid, I don't know, 20 plus minutes until the top of the hour. We just have one break in between, so.
Yeah, we got time.
Oh, okay. Can we do it, Bill?
Yeah.
I think we're on.
Okay.
Bill's giving you the thumbs up. Can't you see it?
I do see it. I wasn't sure it was the thumb, but okay. There's four stages of subversion when you take a look at psychological warfare, when you take a look at how to destabilize a nation, any nation, almost out of a model, if you will allow me some latitude here. There's four stages. The first stage is demoralization. You want to demoralize the nation. Usually it takes about 16 years. It might take sometimes 20 in the case of an America. In lesser educated nations, anywhere from 15 to 16 years. It's usually done through the educational system. Our educational system, I think, again, and we've discussed this in previous shows, factually, we've brought forward documents. I've posted things for y'all. They've demoralized our students. They have gone ahead through programs like Common Core and have taken values out of our education.
Yep.
They've taken critical thinking out of our educational system. So we have students who are just basically numb. And they are filled then with social...
Uh-oh.
You take a look at many of the colleges today, that's exactly what's being taught.
Yeah, they've gone on a hard. You're having some kind of thing with your phone that's making you go into the cone of silence for like 5 seconds at a time.
Yep, we can hear you now.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. I don't know where we got left off. It usually takes a good generation of dummy down students, so you can then redirect them. What you're seeing today with Antifa and other 20-somethings out in the streets marching is the results of this. They have been numb, dumbed down, no critical thinking. They have accepted Marxism and socialism through the colleges in their classrooms, and they're not taught how to critical think, how to ask questions, how to solve through problems. It's a form of community brainwashing, and the educational system is one of the primary locations where this is done to demoralize a nation. Basic American values, for instance, are no longer taught, not only in schools, but even in our homes. Politeness, proper, how to be proper, how to be respectful, how to salute the flag. I remember growing up in school, and I'm older than you guys, where we had prayer every morning, and I was going to a public school, and then the national anthem. This was standard. We lack moral standards in our nation. They're quickly being removed in every facet. And facts, pure facts, no longer matter. You don't have to have facts, just emotions. And this is all part of a very systematic, very sophisticated way to destabilize a nation. You demoralize the nation. You also remove its history. American history is not taught in our schools. The founding of this nation, the revolution, not taught why we had an American Revolution. In fact, in this past week, I overheard on several interviews how Antifa and other rioters were talking about the similarity between the rioting and the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, I saw that. It's like, oh, nice try.
Did you see that too?
Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It was absurd. The two people that I saw who were being interviewed had no freaking idea what they were talking about. None whatsoever. And to compare the rioting and the destruction of stores, they were in New York City. They had just, and the news media that I was watching, an alternative media site, was just outside the Rolex store where $2.4 million worth of Rolexes and watches were stolen. I'm not making this up.
What about the guy who lost 50 high-performance cars that were worth $100,000 each?
Yeah, and Aaron, I think you and I can go on down the list.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy.
Of things here. And they sat there, and they had the audacity, but then I had to realize they're absolutely so underschooled. They are ignorant. And the word ignorant truly means unlearned. Uneducated. They have no idea what they're talking about. To compare the deliberate Malafort thought, it just shows that our American educational system is a joke. The second phase of subverting a nation is to destabilize that nation. And that process usually takes only about 5 years to destabilize a nation. If it's a smaller, less sophisticated nation, it could be 2 to 3 years. What you do is you destabilize the economy. Well, look at what the coronavirus has done for 3 to 4 months now. There's no economy. Now it's booming back, but it's taken a real toll, and it's going to be, especially if they bring out a second stage, which they're already planting the seeds there's going to be. In the end of September. You also destabilize foreign relations. You make China the number one world order country, and America slips to 3rd or 4th place. And so you have this destabilization taking place in front of you, and the American president and the Congress just goes along with it. It's all part of a way to destabilize the strength of this nation. And then our military defense.
Well, and look at what's happening. Like, you know, there are people who are angry that the House of Representatives isn't meeting in Washington, D.C. And then I realize, you know, even when I was in school in the 60s and 70s, they didn't do extensive civics. But people need to realize the Speaker of the House is the one that calls the House into session. So all of the representatives could go back there. But the House is not in session unless the Speaker calls it. And she just blew out the calendar for June. They're not meeting again until July. And that's not done by vote.
You're absolutely right.
That's done by the Speaker.
And excuse me, you guys. And that is part of the destabilization process that has been taking place almost full time, if you'll allow me some leeway here, under the Trump administration by the deep state people. The next phase is crises.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to develop a national crisis. We've just gone through one for the last 3 months, 4 months on the coronavirus. And then right on the heels of that, we have these last 8 to 10 days, depending on where in the nation you are, of these riots. both events clearly destabilized the economy, our government, our social life, our American freedoms, and even the Constitution, because that's what's being argued here, is that these people have the right to do just about anything they wish, unchecked, and you cannot stop them because our Constitution provides for that. Well, it does not. Our Constitution does not provide for unruly behavior. It provides for justice. It does provide for the protection of free speech, but not at the expense of destruction of the government, of private property, et cetera, et cetera. But again, these are unlearned people, and also they're very deliberately pushing a socialist ideology. The last part.
Hold the last part, so we don't have to interrupt mid last part, and we'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Lost in space, with no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And as the flames climb high. Well, we're living here.
Oddly enough, that little snapshot of American life was not really that long ago. But look at how far we've come. Like most people, if they heard that whistle at the beginning of that song, they wouldn't even know it was a brake whistle from a factory. You know? Like, I don't know. We're old, Lyle, by the way. That was just by way of making us all feel old.
I know. That is a factory town. Allentown, Pennsylvania is a great little place.
Mm-hmm.
Been there. Along with Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the little Hershey's come, where the lamps, you probably know this, the street
lamps
are all shaped like.
Yeah,
it does smell yeah. like chocolate too. We liked it there.
It does. And the little lamps are, all the street lamps are Hershey's, little Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, everyone should go there at least once.
So your final stage of,
stage five.
Of a revolution or a revolt is?
And you're absolutely right, Bill. It's a revolution and a revolt simultaneously. The last of the four part of this is called normalization. Mm-hmm. After you have crises or a series of crises, people are longing for normalization. And so what the leaders of the crises, the planned crises, present is, quote-unquote, normalization with all sorts of goodies. You're seeing it happen now, and you've been seeing it happen publicly, when the socialist leaders of governors, mayors, whomever, promise all sorts of goodies, free housing, free tuition, whatever they can come up with, because it just it gives wonderful promises to the masses who've already been dumbed down. They're not critical thinkers. They don't realize that with these free things, what are they truly having to give up, and how are they being shifted? There's no thought process like that anymore. So they just are willing to grab the freebies, especially especially to return to some form of normalcy after going through all the crises they have, to destabilize the economy, and then to tell people, we will take care of you. It's not enough just to give them unemployment checks, but we want to go ahead and pay them to not work. Well, how long is that going to take
before
we run out of money? But that's exactly what was proposed by Pelosi, Schumer, and a whole host of these characters.
Well, they're pretty much doing it now with this $600 extra a week. I mean, we have people in our company that have elected to go on unemployment because they make way more money on unemployment than they did at their job. They don't want to come back to work until that runs out.
Okay, if you really want to have your hair light on fire, I didn't tell you this yet. There is some discussion that for the people who go back to work, who come off unemployment and go back to work, they're going to give them $1,200 for doing that.
Wow.
So think of all the people who stayed at their job who didn't do that. I mean, a lot of people had a choice, and a lot of people didn't. No, not maligning anybody who had no option there and does go back to work. But there are, I think, all of us, we know cases where people could have stayed at work, but it was more lucrative on unemployment, so they did that, and now they're going to pay them to go back to work while the rest of the folks got none of those benefits. It's like, huh.
You're absolutely right, and that's part of the goodies to undermine a strong, vibrant free market. A lot of businesses that the owners are having real troubles bringing back people. They can't get the people to come back because they're making more on unemployment than they are working. So then the other thing was to bring Big Brother into place and put it into place at all levels, local, state, national, and big government, Big Brother takes over and thinks for you, works for you, does for you. And so we end up having, quote unquote, benevolent dictators like Biden, Obama, liberal Republicans who come forward and they have all the answers. And the answers all are larger government, more involved with government, government handouts, payouts, control, whatever. So you don't have to think about it. So the people no longer have to be responsible. And again, since there's no critical thinking and since there's no history taught as to why we broke from that in the first place, we had a Boston Tea Party not to destroy tea makers in America. The tea came from England and it was highly taxed because the benevolent dictator, the King of England, was mad at the colonists for breaking away and not being subservient to him. And so he continued to levy taxes. And taxes continued in multiple fashions. And the final one was the tea. And the colonists said, you know something? We've had it. We're going to go ahead and dump this tea, ruin his product, and he can't collect taxes on it. And okay, we're going to be out of some tea, which was a big thing. But that's what they were willing to sacrifice to send a clear message that we are no longer going to be subservient to dictatorship. Well, now we've come full circle almost to a point where the schools have taught, no, no, large government has the answers. And you have people like liberal Republicans doing the same thing. They're basically rhinos. You guys will remember.
You're going in and out of the cone of silence.
On your website. The deep versus dark state. If not, I can send it to you again.
Yes, please, and I'll
post
it.
Clearly, I think you had it up there, Aaron, for a while.
I just put I posted the Mattis article, one of them, that what didn't cost you money to link into. So for those people who missed it, that is posted on today's page.
Oh, excellent. Good. So that way they know we're not making up stuff and just casting out theory.
We're goofing off, but we're not actually lying. those are different.
We are goofing off, but... so anyway, those are the four processes very quickly. I took you through it very quickly, but those are four processes, very defined processes that Marxist countries follow to destabilize a nation, to move in, and to remove its foundation and to introduce Marxism, communism. And that is what we are seeing here in the United States. And it's appalling, and it's almost hard to believe that the United States of America, pause, could fall for something like this. But that's exactly what we're seeing in front of us. And it's not too dissimilar to how do you cook a frog on the stove very slowly in a pot of water. You don't turn on the heat because it will jump out. But you bring that water up very slowly, very nicely, and that warmth just allows that frog to sit there until he's cooked. It's too late. And that's what takes place here. By the time you get to the fourth process, the normalization process, where you have big government involved with everything, telling you when you can go to church, when you can go to work, when you can't do this, when you wear masks, when you can't wear... I mean, that's what's happening. And then by that time, we'll give you all these goodies as an aphrodisiac to keep you happy while we take over the whole thing. And by the time you finally wake up as you're going into the concentration camps or into the work camps, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these things they're implementing right now are never going to go away. I mean, they're here for good, and so they've made, you know, even when the economy comes back and people go back to work, there's still going to be things in place as a result of this that will never go away.
Yeah. Plus we've done it once. That's the real fear is, you know, when you shut everything down once, who would have ever thought we could literally shutter the country?
Yeah.
But it won't be
so hard to shut it down.
I don't know
again.
About you guys, but a small opinion poll between the three of us. Do you guys think if they tried to shut the country down again, people would go for it, or people would not do it? I don't think people would fall for it again.
I don't think they will either. I think there'll be a lot more pushback.
Oh, I agree with both of you, but from a different wrinkle also. I think not only will there be pushback, Bill, and Aaron, I think there will be, we're talking about chaos. I think there will be civil war and chaos.
Mm.
I think initially America being Americans, we do respect authority. And that first month, we all did our best to stay away, stay home, do all those things.
We thought it actually mattered.
We thought it mattered. We thought we were being told the truth. We were lied to, and somewhere around the sixth week began to be evident. In fact, one of the things that...
Hold that thought, Lyle. We've got a hard news break coming up, and so we've got a little song, a little commentary on what's going on. We'll come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Tennessee just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, because it's all